you're going to hippity hoppity off into a different land in this weather, be careful. Don't fall. Don't slip. Maybe, I don't know, maybe put some sort of chains on your hippity hoppity, whatever the case may be. Just take care of yourself. But wherever and however you get there, please know that that different land is Book World, and we are there now to find out our book picks for the week. We go to our wonderful friends at the Chatham Bookstore in Chatham, New York, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Sherry Bauer-Mayorga and Thomas Shulak. Thank you very much for being with us. A delight to have you both here.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Well, thank you. Now, are we going to go back and forth, or is Sherry going to take a run, and then you'll take a run?
We'll Tom? Go back and forth.
Okay.
I have two books for you.
Oh, is that it?
To kick off. Okay, no, and then we're going to trade back and forth.
Great. I missed rehearsal. Go ahead.
Number one, Future Home of the Living God by Louise Erdrich. And many people walk into the bookstore asking for her latest. I must confess that this is the first novel I've read of hers, and now I see why so many people come through the doors. This is a response. Actually, Louise wrote this in 2002 and put it aside. She wrote it when she began to see the misinformation that was coming out about the Iraq War during the Bush administration, set it aside. And then when she saw the cuts happening to Planned Parenthood, she pulled it out again. It's a dystopian novel. And the main character is Cedar Hawk Songmaker. And I'm just going to read the first line of the novel, which is introduction to this character. When I tell you that my white name is Cedar Hawk Songmaker and that I am the adopted child of Minneapolis liberals and that when I went looking for my Ojibwe parents and found that I was born Mary Potts, I had the knowledge. Maybe you'll understand. It's a letter to her not-yet-born child. And Louise's question is, are we devolving? Evolution takes a turn backwards. Character is really fascinating. The young woman in her 20s is Waldorf-educated, became a Catholic. Everything happens in Minnesota. She's the author of a magazine for Catholics called Zeal. She quotes Thomas Merton and Simone Weil. And she reports on the appearance of the young Native American woman saint, Kateri Tekegwatha, who actually has a shrine in Fonda, New York. But apparently, according to Louise, she appears on a green at the casino in Minnesota.
Okay.
So, Future Home of the Living God. I can't say there's so many levels to it, and all of the characters are likable for a dystopian novel. I think that's amazing.
That's saying something. Future Home of the Living God by Louise Erdrich. Okay.
Next, Hunter of Stories by Eduardo Galeano. Eduardo Galeano was the author of The Open Veins of Latin America, History of Latin America's Colonization, up to the Uruguayan coup in the 70s from which he suffered. This is his last book. He passed away in 2015. It's a collection of one-page histories, mythologies, news stories, insights into Latin America and its colonization. Coming through this incredible mind of this historian who's perfecting the one-paragraph story to tell the story of Latin America. It's just a beautiful work. And the introduction by his editor is just a loving account of their story. He writes at the beginning, I'll just read, he wants to tell history through storytelling. And he writes in this couple of lines, Footprints, which kicks off the book, "Wind smooths over the tracks of gulls, rain washes away human steps. Sun bleaches the scars of time. Storytellers seek the footprints of lost memory, love and pain that cannot be seen but are never erased."
Name of the book is Hunter of Stories by Eduardo Galeano. All right.
Still have a few books here. The first one is It's All Relative.
Yes.
Adventures Up and Down the World's Family Tree by A.J. Jacobs, who also wrote the book The Year of Living Biblically. This is a book that starts when the author gets a communication from his eighth cousin saying, you have 80,000 relatives out there, and I found you. And he spent 3 years, Jacob spent 3 years trying to find more of his relatives. And in the process of doing it, he found the triumphs, but he also found things that no one in his family had ever told him about, which was part of their family history. Part of what Jacobs also did was to decide that he was going to have a gathering of everyone that he could possibly find in a in the global family reunion in New York City. So he wanted to break the Guinness World of Records for the most relatives who came together at one time. So the story is weaving.
Who wants to do that?
Well, you know, this is what he wanted to do. He's sarcastic in some ways, but he's got a sense of humor that comes through here, which makes you want to laugh. Because part of the joy of it is seeing him try to deal with the reality of this big gathering. And I'm not going to tell you what happens at the end of the book with the gathering, but it is quite a story to have. Along the road, he connects with some of the great genealogists that are out there right now. And so for those of who are interested in family roots, this is really a wonderful holiday book if you know somebody that has gone to 23andMe or Ancestry.com or whatever. Right. You can get a sense about a little bit in a fun way about what it's all about to be a relative.
All right. The name of the book is It's All Relative by A.J. Jacobs.
The next book is Elmet, which is by Fiona Mosley. It was a Man Booker Prize finalist in 2017. This is her first novel. So she did an amazing job on her first novel to get to this level. And it's a book that a number of people are coming into the bookstore asking for.
Oh, good.
So we decided, well, let me tell you a little bit about this book. It's about a father, a daughter, and a son who live in this little village called Elmet. It's in Yorkshire, England. Daddy is strong, powerful, and protective, and the kids are very loyal and independent. They live somewhat by themselves. But the family lives on land that's owned by a local landowner named Mr. Price. The novel has us experience the tension between rich and poor in the English society and the rise or the use of violence and intimidation to resolve differences. This is the first novel. But if you read, you could turn to any page in this novel and you would find a vivid description that you would want to read over and over again.
Elmet, and the author is Fiona Mosley.
And the third book that I want to just share with you is American Wolf.
Oh, I love this book.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, really.
What
good.
A book.
Yeah.
I mean, this one, I said, if you want. Oh my! If you're somebody who loves nature, who loves life, who struggles with, who's involved in the tensions that are involved in the struggle around the environment and human beings as predators, wolves as predators, you've got yourself a book here. But the heart of the book is: in the 1920s, there are almost no wolves left in the United States. In the mid-1990s, in comes the decision to reintroduce the wolves into Yellowstone Park. So anyone that's been to the Lamar Valley in Yellowstone Park is going to really love this book. But they introduce these wolves. The wolves grow in numbers. But what we have here is a book which has three primary characters. One is the wolf, whose name is O6, who becomes the kind of the lead wolf in this story. Two is the ranger, whose name is Rick McIntyre, who goes out every morning and every evening to look and to find the where the wolves' paths are. And the third is the hunter. And these are the three that are involved in this book. And so if you want, if whether you're a conservationist or a hunter or a conservationist and a hunter, this book will take you down a journey. It's an amazing story. It's the true story of survival and obsession in the West. If you want to get a sense about some of the tensions that are in the West, this book, American Wolf, is an excellent book.
It is entitled American Wolf by Nate Blakesley. All right, Sherry.
The Chatham Bookstore has a gift table, and I'm bringing two books from that table. When you walk into the store, you have to go past the entry, and then go into the middle, and there are a number of beautiful hardcover books. And I'm going to get this one for myself. This is The Great Jazz and Pop Vocal Albums, book by Will Friedwald. It's a loving tribute to the long playing record in an era where we're moving to compiling our own CDs from iTunes tracks. He looks at 51 albums, gives the inside story, the history, reasons for the song choice, stories of the artists, and deals with albums that are recorded, comprised of tracks that were familiar to the American public, but had an update with fantastic arrangers like Nelson Riddle and Sinatra. He also covers recordings cover from 1955 up to 2002. Maybe some people want to know the inside stories of, well, my favorite was the Tony Bennett and Bill Evans recording album. Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong recording. Margaret Whiting sings a Jerome Kern songbook. And of course, Ray Charles, modern sounds in country and Western music. Will writes beautifully. This is a book for musicians and real lovers. You can tell he's listened to every album about 30 times, knows the inside out. He's written for Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Village Voice, Stereo Review, BBC Music Magazine. Highly recommend this. They're great reads. The only thing that's missing is the gossip about the artists, and who needs that anyway?
Great. So, great jazz and pop vocal albums by Will Friedwald. And we have about a minute. Go ahead.
Muddy, the story of blues legend Muddy Waters. And this is by Michael Mahin and illustrated by Hudson Valley's Evan Turk. And it's a story of four children about Muddy Waters' struggle from the Mississippi Delta all the way up to Chicago, what the oppression he faces, even in the music world when they try to pocket him into the jazz world. Every picture is a chalk drawing, and he's busting out of every picture, and is a happy ending to it.
The name of the book is Muddy, and it is just one of the books on the list provided to us by Chatham Bookstore this morning. You can find the list on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. Better yet, visit the Chatham Bookstore in Chatham. You have some events you want to mention? What do you have?
Yes, just a few.
Okay.
This coming Saturday is our Winterfest in Chatham, and we'll be reading once again The Grinch That Stole Christmas and the book Snowy Day.
Woohoo!
After the first of the year, we have Jamie Cat Callens and her new book, Parisian Charm School. And then on the 13th, we bring back Jeffrey Diamond to the bookstore for a second in the Ethan Allen series entitled Live to Tape. And so these are some of the events coming up in the next month.
All right. Thank you very much. Again, you can find out more information by going to the Chatham Bookstore in Chatham, New York. They're at 27 Main Street. Sherry Thomas, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.